Let's line them up. Mitzvahs are limbs. Life source is Torah. Okay, so we have these two bodies of Jewish life. The limb has to do a specific thing. You chas v'shalom do not want our ears to begin smelling. You know something is really wrong if people are seeing things with their fingers. Each limb has to do a specific job. So too, mitzvahs are absolutely bound by details. If in the month of Kislev, a person takes the most beautiful esrog and lulav and hadassim and aravis and shakes it up and down for 24 hours straight, they will have wasted 24 hours totally and completely. And if on Pesach we go out and decorate our sukkahs and eat our seder and our sukkah, we're total goof-offs. There's no point to it whatsoever. They are only in specific places and specific times. There's an astonishing chazal. Chazal say that if a person studies the laws of the Karban Ola, Hashem considers it as if that person has sacrificed an Ola sacrifice. Now we imagine that that's a great thing. That's why we say the Karbanos, right? Do you know that if I was to go and bring an Ola sacrifice right now, I'd be culpable of the death penalty? Number one, I'm Tamei. Number two, I'm not a Kohen. Number three, I'm not in the Beis Hamikdash. Each one of those things would bring about a death penalty. So why would I possibly want to study the laws of the Karban Ola and have it as if I brought a Karban Ola, I'd be culpable of the death penalty? Somebody who studies the laws of Sukkah, studies the tractate of Sukkah, he fulfills a mitzvah of the study of Torah. Well, that should be specific to Sukkahs. Says the Baltanya, no, because we're misreading Torah. While mitzvahs are specific to a given time and a given place and have to be done in a very, very exact, specific way, and only in that way will a person have brought about the emanation, bringing about the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world in a very specific way, when it comes to the study of Torah, due to the fact that it is the blood source and the life source accommodate each one of the limbs in its specific way. It energizes the entirety of the human being. No matter where that blood needs to go, it's able to go and energize the whole body. The Torah does the same thing in the world. Torah is an all-encompassing life source that applies to all of life. And it is not time-bound or space-bound. And this is the reason why Chazal tell us with Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam that the study of Torah, if the mitzvah is not, for instance, if a person studies Torah and it's time to go read the Megillah, he has to interrupt. He can't study Torah at that time. But if there is an opportunity to study Torah or to perform another mitzvah, and the mitzvah will get done through somebody else, the study of Torah takes precedence. Because the study of Torah is an all-encompassing mitzvah, whereas the mitzvah performance is only in a very specific detail. This aspect of the study of Torah is all-encompassing for everybody. In fact, with the Mishnah Berurah, Paskins, women are obligated to say Karbanos in the same way as men. That's another interesting thing. It's not even gender specific. But I think that the benefit of studying Torah in this area would be equal, because it is the life source, no matter which way you cut it. It may be, obviously, it's not with Gemara. But if a woman learns the types of the mitzvahs of Torah that she's supposed to learn, then the same thing applies. It's not perhaps the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but it still is the life source. He puts it into a very interesting mashal. He says that Torah and mitzvahs are like the house owner and the furniture. The owner of the home comes in and says, I want that painting there, I want that couch there, I want this here, I want that there. Torah is the das of the owner. The unique pieces of furniture are the mitzvahs. That's how the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants it. So Torah becomes the balabais to the performance of mitzvahs. So again, therefore, going back to the analogy of rotzain, the fact that the owner wants the furniture in those places, how many times have we walked into a place and said, I would have done this totally differently? Virtually every place we walk into. Because it's a matter which is based upon our personal preference. And that is rotzain. That's what Torah is, the Ratzon that pervades the mitzvahs. Torah is the highest will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that pervades the performance of mitzvahs and says that it is in these specific ways. I mean, it's fascinating because all of Torah is made up of how to perform mitzvahs. Any part of Torah, if you think about it, it is all mitzvah based. The entirety of Shas is the details of mitzvahs. The entirety of Shulchan Aruch is the details of mitzvahs. So it is the Ratzon, it's God's will of how the mitzvahs are to be performed. Let's talk about the tangibility of Hashem in the world. We refer to this world as having been created Yesh Me'ayin. How do you say that in Latin? Ex nihilo. My two favorite Latin words. Something out of nothing. Right? So you pick this up. This is plastic, metal, whatever it is, right? This is something. You can feel it, you can hear it. Right? Where did it come from? Notice that human beings have never created anything. Human beings can only form things. Right? We could take substances, we could take things and reshape them to make various things out of them. We've never created anything. Hashem creates something out of nothing. So this is something. Where did it come from? It comes from nothing, right? Now, that's from our vantage point. What's sustaining this? What's bringing this into existence right now? Hashem's statements, right? Hashem is saying, let there be plastic in some form or another, right? If Hashem were to stop for a moment those statements from reverberating throughout creation, what would exist in my hand right now? Gurnished, right? Absolutely nothing. It would cease to exist. There's a story with the Apterov. The Apterov was once sitting at his table. The Neiselsko was there. It's part of a larger story. But the Apterov was saying this, was expounding upon this theory. He picked up his Becher. Feel bad for the guy who bought it for him. And he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to remove his statement from sustaining this Becher for a single moment, what would happen? And there was a pile of dust on the table beneath his hand. The cup ceased to exist. So now, from that vantage point, what's something and what's nothing? From our vantage point, that which we can feel, that which we can see, that which we can smell, that which we can hear is real, right? God? I don't know. From Hashem's vantage point, nothing but God is real because it's only His statement that's giving credence, it's giving existence to anything. The famous story with the Chassidim who come into a town where the rabbi was a free thinker, he was a maskil. They wanted to raise money in this town. The only way to get in to raise money was to get the rabbi's agreement to allow them to speak and to raise money. So they came into this rabbi before Shabbos. Slim chances, you know, the Chassidim, to get this rabbi to allow them to speak. So the rabbi's first question is, they tell me, what do you think of the maskilim? What do you think of the free thinkers? The intelligentsia. So they said, you know, our experience, Rabbi, has been that the maskilim are always thinking about God, where the chassidim are always thinking about themselves. So this rabbi was very impressed by the open-mindedness of these guys. He gave them letters to go collect money in the city. On Sunday, they came back to him and they said, we really want to clarify what we were saying after they had raised all the money. He said, what we're really saying is as follows. The chassidim know of God's existence, they're really not sure about their own existence. So they're constantly contemplating whether they exist or not. They're always thinking about themselves. The maskilim, on the other hand, are convinced about their own existence. They're not so sure about God. So they're constantly thinking about God. Right? From our vantage point, it seems to us that what we see, what we feel is tangible, is real. From Hashem's vantage point, it's the other way around. How do we change our vision into Hashem's vision? How do we change the perspective of reality, the balance of reality in the world, to being God's reality, so that God becomes real and existence outside of God becomes questionable? The way to do that is through the performance of mitzvahs. The performance of mitzvahs changes the balance. That's the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs. That's the ultimate Ratzon of Hashem in the performance of mitzvahs. is creating this obstacle course, a maze. It's an obstacle course.